We got to the today's daf, or tonight's daf is daf Dalet. We got to the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that Afa Pisha Amru Ein Mashkinin Noshim VaAvodim VeKtanim. So we learned yesterday that a person doesn't take, we can't take a mashkon from women of Adam Ketanim, since they're not chayiv in shkalim, they're not obligated to give shkalim, so we can't go ahead and take some of the property away. But if they decide to take, we're willing to accept from them. We're willing to accept from the women and the avadim ketanim, the shkalim. We could put it as part of the fund in purchasing the karbanos. So the Mishnah says further now, hanachri v'akusi. The Gemara is going to address that part. Hanachri and anju, akusi is a whole other category. Sheshaklu, that they decide they wanted to give shkalim. Ein mekablim mehem, we don't. We're not willing to accept their shkalim. Vein mekablim miyadam. In addition to that, we also don't accept from them kane zavin, kane zavos, kane yoldos. There's different halachas of when a person's tamei, a zav, or zav, or yoledes, when they complete the tumah process, very appropriate for this week's parsha. At the end, they bring a karbanos, they bring two birds. That's called a kan here, a kane, a basket of birds. So we don't accept them from the nachri. And chatos, vashamos, if they decide to bring a karban chatos or a karban osham, we don't accept it from them either. And the Mishnah has the following principle that Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule, Kol Shenidor V'Nidav Mekablim Yadam, any type of carbon which is dedicated, which is a voluntary, and the guard decides to give a carbon, so then we accept the carbon. But Kol Sheino Nidar V'Nidav, any carbon that's not, you can't dedicate a chatas. If a person did an Aveira, that's Chayiv Kari, so he has to bring a chatas. You can't just decide one day I want to give a chatas. There has to be a reason for a chatas. So anything that comes as a chova, not as a nidar of a nidav, that the lacha is ein mikablim miyadan. That we do not accept from the goyim. V'chein mefurish al yidei Ezra. Ezra said this explicitly in the pasuk shenemar lo lachem v'lanu livnos. Lo lachem, rather, it's not for you the goyim to build. Rather, v'lanu livnos beis lelokeinu. It's for us to build the beis hamikdash. You can't have any part in this. Now this is a kasha for the Tveris Yisrael. I didn't see anybody address this. But there's a whole discussion, as you know, famously, how Bais Shlishi is going to be built. Rashi famously writes a couple places in Shas, it's going to come from Shemaim, and the Rambam writes that it's going to be built, built by us, by Adam. So the Tiferes Yisrael says, in the beginning of Maseches Midos, I think it is, that it's going to be built Ayidei Goyim. We're going to be managing, supervising, overseeing the construction, but they're the ones who are actually going to be building it. So it's interesting that the Pasuk in Ezra says, referring to Bais Sheni at least, Lo Lachem, that you can't be involved with this. I'm not sure how, I guess maybe Bais Shlishi will be different. I'm not sure how the Tiferes Yisrael addresses this Pasuk. Then the Mishnah continues on the top of Dalet. The Mishnah says, Ve'elu Shachayavim Bekalbon. And the following individuals are Chayav in a Kalbon. Now, a Kalbon, Machlok is exactly what this is, but in addition to giving a machas a shekel, you have to give an additional fee. It could be viewed as a processing fee. It could be used to balance out the coin. The machas a shekel might be smaller weight than it should have been, so the kalbon is supposed to even it out. It's some additional small fee that you have to pay on top of the machas a shekel. So the following individuals, Ze'elu Shechayavim Bekalbon, the following have to pay this kalbon, this fee. Levim v'Yisraelim v'geirim v'avadim mishuchrarim. These are all individuals who are chayav to give a machatz a shekel, so they also have to give a kalbon. Aval lo kohanim v'nashim v'avadim v'ketanim. But individuals who are not chayav, they only give if they decide to voluntarily. So, such as kohanim and women and children. So then they are giving it because as a reshus, they don't have to pay this kalbon. Now, let's say a person ashok al yidei kohen. Let's say I decide I want to give a shekel on behalf of a kohen. Oh, al yidei isha. Oh, al yidei eved. Oh, al yidei katan. I'm giving a shekel for one of these individuals that don't have to give, but I'm giving it for them on their behalf anyways. So the halacha is pater. Just like if the kohen himself is pater from the kalbon, so if I'm a shliach for the kohen, I'm also pater from paying the kalbon. But vim shekel al yado v'yidei chavero chayv b'kalbon echad. But if I'm paying a shekel for my friend who's chayiv, my friend the Yisrael, my friend the Levi, so then I would have to pay the kalbon. Even though he's not the one giving it directly, I'm giving it to the Beis HaMikdash as a shliach, I will have to pay that additional, let's call it a processing fee, the kalbon.
You said yes, the coin, meaning it's
that was the machlokas. Right, so this mishnah is assuming that a kohen's pater, right.
Okay.
Right, very good. So then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir Omer, shtei kalbonos. He holds differently, he argues and says you have to pay two kalbonos, two processing fees, two of these small coins. He argues, and the Gemara is going to explain the shitas Rabbi Meir. Hanosein sela. A sela is a double, it's two machitz a shekel. It's a full shekel. A sela is a full shekel. So a guy gives a sela, and he no-tell a shekel. So if I give, let's call it a dollar, I only owe 50 cents, as you know, use American currency for a moment. So I only owe 50 cents. I give a dollar to the gizbar, and he returns back to me a half a dollar. So the halacha is, no sin sell. If I give a seller a full shekel, the no-tell shekel, I take what really should be a machatz shekel back, I'm chayv shnei kalbonos. I need to pay two amounts because there are two processing fees. It's like you pay for shipping and then you have to return it, so you have to pay shipping on the other end back. So that's the double fee you're paying, your shnei kalbonos. And the Gemara is going to address why that is. Hashokel ayde ani vayde shcheino vayde ben iro pater. I'm paying on behalf of an ani. This case is where I don't expect him to pay me back. He's poor, he can't afford it. So I'm giving as a matana for my neighbor, for the poor person, or some other person in the city. In this case, I'm pater from paying kalbon, because it's not fair to me. I'm doing the guy a favor. I'm doing a tova by paying half machz shekel to throw the fee on top of that, so they waive this extra fee. But v'im halvon chayv, if I just laid out the money for him, but in the end he's going to pay me back that shekel, in that case, I am chayv to pay the processing fee, and I'm going to collect that kalbon from the mishalech, the guy who's borrowing the money from me, who wanted me to lay out the money for him.
You can pay for somebody else, and that other person doesn't necessarily know that you pay for them? Like, do as a...
Is he aware or not? Interesting. I'm not sure if he's aware or not.
And would the base on you just keep a record of who gave and who didn't give, as well the guy comes to give?
Right.
Before the only...
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if he has to be aware of it. I imagine it works even if he's not aware. I don't know for sure. I can't imagine the Beis HaMikdash keeps a tally of everyone. It would be a lot to do, a certain amount of trust. And if a person doesn't give machzeh shekel, he just is not part of every carbon that's brought. He loses out. He misses the mitzvah, and he's not part of... Oh, that's true. They must say you're right. They did say that. They must have some system. That's a good point. Okay.
So I guess... Just to avoid saying, I mean, can't someone just say I'm giving on behalf of an ani to avoid the kalman?
You're saying two people, yeah. You're saying I'll give for you, give for me. We'll say you're the ani, I'm the ani, and then this way we'll pay for each other and avoid the kalman. I assume there's a certain amount of trust here. Right. The kalman we'll see in a second is not that much money, so you're not saying people are, you know, are, of course are stingy, but in theory it could happen. Not anymore. Okay, so the Mishnah concludes now and says, "Ha'achim ha'shutvin." So you have brothers. Now the brothers. The situation here is there's a parallel Mishnah in Becharos. Those who've learned Becharos in the last parak of Becharos is called Meiser Behema. Talks of Meiser Behema halachas there that of your animals, the new animals of the year, you have to every 10th animal they walk through the pen, and then every 10th animal is called Meiser Behema. So you have a brother that their father died, and the father was moorish to them a certain Yerusha. And they divided the property up evenly. And then afterward, they decided to become shutrin, to become partners. So in this case, so now they're partners, the chayavim bekalbon. So they're going to give, they have a property from all their funds, they're going to give together one shekel. You have two brothers who are each chayav machz a shekel, so they're going to give from the estate that they're now partnered in, they're going to give one full shekel. So since it's fulfilling two obligations, two chiyuvim, so the Mishnah says they're chayiv bekalbon, they have to pay a processing fee for each of the brothers. But they're pturin mi meiser behema, but they don't have to give meiser behema. Again, I don't want to get involved in meiser behema right now, but just the halacha is meiser behema, only if it's owned, if the animal is owned by a yachid, are you chayiv in meiser behema. But if a animal or animals are owned by shutvin, by partners, so then there's a ptur, you don't have to take meiser behema. Now the Mishnah says, but if they are uchshechayavim b'maiser behema, in a situation where the chayiv b'maiser behema, what's the situation? So the Gemara in Becharos explained, let's say the father dies, and now the brothers are the yorshim, but they haven't yet divided up the land. So it's still in that estate. It's still under the father's control before they've divided it yet. So it's viewed as one owner. It's an estate, this entity that owns it. So in that case, chayavim b'maiser behema. Because Ma'aser Behema is only chayv when there's an individual who's chayv. This entity is viewed as an individual, and they're schayv and ma'aser beima, but they're patur min akalbon. If they decide to pay machzeh shekel from the estate, since the brothers don't own it yet, it's viewed as if they're paying off from the estate for their father. Now, the father is dead, so the father is obviously not chayv, so they're giving it as a matana. And we said above, whenever you give machzeh shekel as a matana, so then it's a patur from paying the kalbon. Okay. The Mishnah concludes saying, "V'kama hu kalbon." What's a kalbon? So the Gemara says the machlokas. Mea kasef divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chacham omrim chatzi mea. A mea kasef is 1/12 of a shekel, and half of that is 1/24. So that's the machlokas. Again, a small amount of money, not too much. Okay. Gemara now says, "Apa pisha amru v'chuli." The Mishnah said that we're not mimashkin. We don't take collaterals from women or children to pay the shekel because they're not chayv in the shekel. Ha litva ein tovin. We could conclude that you're not toveya from them. You can't be toveya from ketanim to pay shekel because they're not chayv in shekel. So the Gemara sets up a stira. Ha cha at amar tovin. Here earlier we saw yesterday that you can be toveya from them, but ha cha here we're saying now at amar ein tovin. You can't claim from a katan. So can you be toveya from a katan or can you not be toveya from a katan? And the Mishnah, the Gemara answers, there's no stira. Kan b'shehevi shnei saros, kan b'shelohevi shnei saros. One is where the child has matured, he's above a bar mitzvah, so that's when you are tovin from them. And the other case is where they're not yet bar mitzvah, they're still a katan, and you're not toveya from them. Okay, the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, hanachi v'akusei v'chule. So Amar Rabbi Abba Tifatar, let's explain the Mishnah, kiman damar kusei kinachri. Because if we said that you won't accept a shekel from a Nachri, nor do you accept a shekel from a kusi, so we have to be assuming that it is a machlok, as we'll see in just a second, whether a kusi is a goy or a kusi is a yid. So the fact that we don't accept the shekel from the kusi indicates that a kusi is kinachri, it's a non-Jew. This palginan, we have a machlokas, is a kusi kinachri, like a non-Jew, that's divrei Rebbe, but Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kusi ki yisrael chaldaver, so that kusi is a real bona fide Jew. So the fact that a Mishnah says you don't accept a shekel from a kusi tells us that we paskin that a kusi is kinachri. So it comes along Amar Reb Lezer, masnisin b'nachri. No, the Mishnah only mentions nachri. The word kusi does not appear in our Mishnah. He changes the girsa, or he had a different girsa. So he says, ha b'nachrim b'kusim lo. But with regards to kusim, that was not in the text of the Mishnah. We do accept a shekel from a kusi. V'tani, he brings a raya. Kane, adam l'rabos al esagerim. The pasuk says, I'm getting the pasuk on the side here. Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem, adam kiyakir mikem karbon l'ashem. Who's an adam? So adam l'rabos esagerim, even a gerim rather, even a ger can bring a karbon. And then the pasuk says, mikem, mikem from you as opposed to someone else, lehotzi esam mumarim, a mumar, a person who's not interested in following the halacha. Now, kusi is interested in following the halacha, but kusim kept a lot of the mitzvahs. And the Gemara is about how some mitzvahs, they were more strict on certain areas of halacha than the regular yid was. So we see from here that a kusi is included. They had the ability of bringing karbanos. So that's the raya for Reb Lezer. If they could bring karbanos, they could bring shkalm as well. So the kusi is erased from our Mishnah. Gemara says, but the masnis and the rest of the Mishnah is pliga al Reb Lezer. The rest of the Mishnah seems to go against Reb Lezer. How? Because the Mishnah said, ein mekablin miyadam, you don't accept from them, kane zavin vizavos v'kane yoldos. You don't accept the baskets of birds that they brought after having a baby, after becoming tamei and tahor. So who's that referring to? Who don't we accept from? V'chiyesh kani zavim v'zavos b'nachrim? It's not referring to a nachri. There's no din of tumah v'tahara when it comes to nachri. They don't practice that din of tumah v'tahara and yoledes and nida. So why would they ever bring a karbon? So elamai must be referring to a kusi. So we see that the Mishnah is referring to a kusi. And therefore, when the Rashi says, Gerim v'kusim lo mekablim miyadam, we don't accept a shkalim from the kusi. This goes against Reb Elazar. So Gemara says, no. Ela Rashi b'nachrim v'sefer b'kusim. The Rashi only mentions nachrim. We don't accept nachrim's shkalim, but we do accept kusim. The second part of the Mishnah, it says, however, when it comes to the kusim, even though we do accept the shkalim, ein mekablim miyadam, we don't accept the karbonos of the kani zavin v'zavos of kani yoldos. And that's exactly what he found. Kainu, they said, that's true. Reisha benachrim v'seifa bekusim. So again, just to review, we don't accept for the shkalim from the nachrim. And with regards to kusim, there's a machlokas. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that we don't accept kusim shkalim, but Rebbe Lazer changed a girsin and says, no, kusim shouldn't be there, and in fact, you do accept the shkalim from the kusim. And the second half of the Mishnah, here says, even though you accept the shkalim from the kusim, you don't accept their kani yoldos, zavin v'zavos. Yeah. No, if you assume Rebbe Lazar that he holds a kusi is the Yisrael l'chaldavar, then you would be able to, yeah. Yeah. Fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, B'tchila, in the beginning, when they were collecting the funds for the Beis HaMikdash and building the Beis HaMikdash, so the halacha is, he said, Ein mekablin mehem lo davar mesuyam, v'lo davar sheina mesuyam. We didn't accept any dedication from a guy at all. Davar Mesuyam is something that's defined. If they want to give, like, the menorah, we don't get the menorah. As opposed to Davar Sheinu Mesuyam, it's just money, which is not a defined thing. It's just money. It's value. We wouldn't accept anything b'tchila when we started the process of bringing, of building, rather, the Beis HaMikdash. Ubasof, when the Beis HaMikdash was complete, and they wanted to come dedicate to the upkeep and to the maintenance, so then, mekablam mehem Davar Sheinu Mesuyam, we would accept things that are not defined. We would accept money. But ve'ein mekablam mehem davar mesuyam. If they wanted to give a picture to hang in the wall or something as a davar mesuyam, that we wouldn't accept basof. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Omer Rish Lakish holds, bein betchila bein basof, ein mekablam mehem lo davar mesuyam, lo davar sheinu mesuyam. He held differently that whether in the beginning when they're building the Beis HaMikdash and even after the Beis HaMikdash was complete, they would never accept any dedications from the Goyim. So the Gemara quotes a Masnisa, our Mishnah, which argues on Rabbi Yochanan. Masnisa pliga Rabbi Yochanan. What does the Braisa say? Ein mekablin mehen hekdesh unedava lebeda kabayis. It says across the board, categorically, we don't accept anything from them. Whether to davar mesuyam, whether to ein davar mesuyam. This goes against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan felt that we would accept a davar sheinu mesuyam. We would accept money from them. But this Braisa says, categorically, we don't accept anything from them. So comes along, Rabbi Yochanan Pasar Lehi, he interprets it, he explained, Bein betchila bein besof, we don't accept in the beginning and the end, ubilva davar mesuyam. He qualifies it by saying, we don't accept any defined, any objects. But when it comes to davar sheinu mesuyam, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can accept from them basof. So comes along Reish Lakish and says, Amar, bein betchila, bein besof, ein mekablam mehem lo davar mesuyam v'chulei. So now we're asking a question to Reish Lakish. Masnisa, this brisa, is plige al Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. What's the brisa that argues in Reish Lakish? Ditani, the brisa that appears in Maseches Erchin, hakol shavin, everyone's in agreement, shehein nodrin v'nidarin. That Goyim are able to make a neder, noder, they can make a neder, v'nidar, and they can be nedered, if you will. They can be dedicated. The Gemara is referring to, the Mishnah talks about erichin halachas, about being marichin. You could say, I want to give the Ephraim's value to the Beis HaMikdash, whatever his value is I'm going to give, or nerachin, and can a goy can be marich or not, and can he be nerach? Could I say, I want that goy to be nerach, I want to take his value? A goy could marich and nerach. Marich is saying the erichin, nerach is being evaluated. So in that discussion, the Gemara says, but everybody agrees that a goy could be both noder, he could create a neder, and he goes to be neder, he could take a neder, someone could take a neder about him. So we see from here that he's allowed to, Rabbi Shlakish says, we never accept anything from the goy. But this Bryson erichin says, we do accept. He could make a neder to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Pasir La, Reish Lakish explains, Ola. He's not referring to any of the upkeep or the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. That we don't accept from him. What he's allowed to dedicate is he could dedicate a carbon Ola. That we accept from him, a carbon Ola. But just not anything as part of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Nicha Nodun. I can understand how the word Noder can be interpreted to be referring to a carbon Ola. Because no, there's an open question. I could take a ned there about anything. I could take a ned there that you can't get a hana from me. I could take a ned there that the carbon. So we're limiting it that a no there refers to a carbon. They made a ned there to take a carbon. We could accept such a carbon from the nachir. But Ella, kisha, but what is that? Nidarin, Ola. How a nidar means you are the object now. How then does the Nachri ever become a Nidr? How does he ever become an Ola? That obviously doesn't make any sense. So Nodin Nidarin cannot be interpreted as a Karbanos, has to be referring to dedicating to the Beis HaMikdash against Reish Lakish. Gemara says no. Ella, Kishamar Yisrael Hare Alai Ola, Vishama Nachri Vamar Mash Amar Zeh Alai. Now what Nidar here means, not that the Nachri is being a Nidar, that he's being dedicated as a Karban Ola, it means that it wasn't a direct statement. Nodin means a direct statement that I'm bringing an Ola. Nidar means indirect, where that Yisrael said, I'm bringing a Ola, and I, Zanachi, said, oh, me too. That's more indirect. That's what Nidar means. But both Nodar and Nidin are referring to bringing Karbanos Ola, and that's why it's acceptable. But when it comes to dedicating money or an object to the Bedek HaBayis, to the upkeep and to the maintenance, that Reish Lakish wouldn't allow for. Okay. The Gemara asks a question now. Ve'ein mevi imo nesachim. But when a Nachri brings a Karban, a carbon ola is accompanied by nesachim. Nesachim are wine, and they pour the wine libations over the mizbeach. And what happens is, oftentimes, you bring too much wine, and there's most in nesachim. There's a surplus of wine. Lo lechli sharisinun. So let's say a bottle of wine that's used in the Beis HaMikdash costs $25, and he brought a $50 bill. So the $15 surplus, they would take and start buying a kli sharis with it. So isn't that inevitable that's going to happen? That eventually the Nachri is going to have some money, even though it's initially given for the Karban, somehow it's going to make its way over to helping buy a Kli Sharis, one of the Kalim. And how could Reish Lakish allow for that to be? He says you can't accept any money for any of the Bedek HaBayis, any of the Binyan, any of the Kalim. Nimso, what comes out is, maybe Davar Mesuyam. This is a question even to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan allowed a Davar She'ena Mesuyam, money to be dedicated. But a davar mesuyam, he wouldn't allow for it. But this turns out, any of the most nesachim, the surplus of the nesachim, would be used to buy a davar mesuyam. So it's a kashrus to everybody. So Gemara answers, Hesiv Rabbi Yossi Barabi Bon Vahataninan. And wait a second. Don't we have another mission, the very first mission of Maseches Erchin? Maybe that should be the next Masechta. What do you guys think? We think I could get a big crowd for that one? Nerachin, the Mishnah, Erechin says, Nerachin, a goy could be Nerachin, he could be assessed. The halachas of Erechin is, if I say the psukim at the end of Sefer Vayikra in Behar, says that there's a whole table, that if you're a male versus a female in different ages, how much set value there is for a boy under the age of a year or a month, whatever the ages are, and then a girl that same age, and then a boy from the age of 5 to 30. I don't remember all the tables. And so if I say I want to be Erchai Alai, so my age bracket and my gender, I have to give that, whatever, look at the table, I give that amount of money. And if I say you're Erchai Alai, so then I have to look up your age and your gender, and then that's what I have to bring. So I am Kami Marichin, but someone could also be Nerachmi. You could say you want to bring my value. So the Mishnah there says a goy could be Nerachin. He can be evaluated. I could say, that goy, I want to be Marach his value. He's Nerachin. So I look at his age, I look at his gender, and I look at the bracket, the table, and I find out how much I owe. So what's the relevance of this? So now what comes out of this, that a Nachri, according to Rabbi Huda, could also be Marichin. He could also give money. Where does that money go? The Orchin Lola Bedek Abaisinan? Where's the money of Erchin go? It goes to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. It goes to buying new Kalim. So isn't that a clear example where money from the Nachum is being used for Bedek HaBayis against both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So the Gemara says, Heich Madat Amar Taman. How do you answer that question there in Erchin? It's because the Shemaim Hu Meskavin, Hu Me'alein Hein Barn LeBedek HaBayis. The Nachum doesn't know what's going on with the money. He just wants to do something very nice. He sees the Beis HaMikdash, he likes the Jews, they're very nice people. He wants to dedicate something. Here's some money, do whatever you want with it. He doesn't know, he can't follow the trail that this money's going from his hand to the gizbar, to the buyer, to the maker, and to the klishar. He has no idea. He's a shame shemayim. So therefore, since he's unaware that it's being used for davar mesuyam, we accept the money in the case of Erchin. So too here, kainat amar afhacha, so too in the case of the Moser Nesachim. He gives money dedicated to the Nesachim. Oh, there's some surplus. Okay, we'll take the money, we'll go buy something. He has no idea where that extra money is going. It's l'shamayim humiskavin. He has kavana to do a very nice act of bringing a carbon in Nesachim. Umei aleihem hein ban lebedek habayis. And just on their own, they happen to collect some extra money here and it's used for klisharis, but the non-Jew, the guy, has no idea as to where it went. Okay. So the Gemara now says, so ma avid la, so Reish Lakish pater la, so Reish Lakish now, how is he going to answer this question? Because he said that it's asur always to accept money from an achir. That only explained Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan allowed a davar sheinu mesuyom to go to the base of Bingdash. Isn't this buying a klisharis? So he says, since he has no idea it's going to klisharis, it's considered a davar sheinu mesuyom. But for Reish Lakish, who says we don't accept any money from the goyim, so how do we allow any erchin that they take if they're marich? How do we accept their money, even though it's a davar sheinu mesuyom? So says Reish Lakish, pasar la, he answers, lo lachem vilanu livnos base leilokenu. So he answers as follows, that the iser is only when it's something that he's aware. Even Reish Lakish agrees it has to be awareness, where he could say that you built it. No, the Pasuk says, lo lachem, it's not for you, it's lanu, it's only us to build the Beis HaMikdash. Well, they're trying to get credit for it. That's only when it's iser aser. But when they're not trying to get credit, in this case where there's some surplus and it happens to make its way over to Kli Sharis, then even in that case, Reish Lakish will agree, we would accept the money from the Nachri. If they're being slaves, maybe they're not taking credit for it. Could be, yeah. Yosef, I guess, explained this possibly, it's referring to only in terms of funding and not in terms of physically building it. This does get into a whole discussion about accepting money from a Nachri with regards to tzedakah. That's the Gemara talks about. We don't accept money from a Nachri for tzedakah. And it's not because of their season, because we don't want them to feel proud of it. But the Gemara says we don't want them to have extra zechuyos. By helping us out, we don't accept money from them. Now, there are some heterim for them, but we try to avoid accepting any tzedakah from them. This is a big shaila when it came to Hurricane Sandy, when the Red Cross was giving out a lot of money to a lot of people out here. Would you be able to accept any money from them, because they're going to take credit for helping the Yidden build up the houses? So that was a discussion. The answer was that since their goal wasn't dafka to help the Jews, they're helping everybody. It wasn't for the shul or for the schools. It was for whoever wants to take. They're willing to help out. There is a heter to accept the money from them. Okay. The Gemara now says we're going to skip the next few lines. It's many of them take this out of the Braisa here, out of the Gemara. Let's jump down a few lines now to Masnisa, the Rabbi Meir. Fine. So the Gemara says our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Meir. So how so? Dami Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds kishem sheshiklo Torah. So just like you take a shekel from the Torah, kach kalbono Torah. Just like there's a chiv in the rice to pay machatzitz a shekel every single year, there's also actually a chiv to pay the kalbon every single year as well. Why? So kesavar Rabbi Meir benosin shiklo shalim. Because when a person gives a full shekel, shuchai bekalbon, when a person pays a full shekel, he needs to pay a kalbon. When he pays a full amount, not a half a shekel, but he pays a full shekel. Why? Damar Rabbi Meir, kimin matbeya shel eish hoti kadosh baruch hu, mitachas kisei kvodo. Kadosh baruch hu, the famous Yushami, Rashi quotes this al Torah, that kadosh baruch hu took out a coin of fire from below his throne, from the kisei kvodo. V'hereyu l'moshe v'amar lo ze yitnu. He says, this coin, you see this fiery coin, this is what you should take. Because ze yitnu, just like this, you should take it from here. So the idea is that they're explaining that how do you get to that fire, how do you get to the fire of coin, that fiery coin. So he explained that the kalbon somehow is supposed to compensate for the coin that they have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled out. It was a very clean coin, clean of all metal. The machzor shekel that we have is not a pure coin like a Kadosh Baruch Hu had. So somehow that kalbon is supposed to even it out in some way. I don't fully appreciate it in terms of the weight, in terms of the purity of this metal, in order to really to fulfill that din of an eish, a matbeya, shel eish. Now the Medrash tells us that these are one of the three areas, there's some who say there are four areas, but one of the three areas that Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding, where it says zeh. So it says shkalim, it says by the menorah he had a hard time. And then the other case was the case of the animals. I'm forgetting there's a fourth one. Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh is Elachem. And some say even the animals, last week's Parsha. So I heard once that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rosh Tevis Moshe Rabbeinu, is menorah, Shkalim, and Hachodesh. Those are three areas that he had a hard time with. And just to show, that was Moshe's challenge. That was his whole goal in life, whatever that meant, whatever the challenge was. But that's really what his Mahus was. And we each have certain challenges. That's part of our fabric, which we can't escape. But that's our Tafkin life, and just finding those challenges in our Nisyonos and fighting them. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu had his challenges destined from the beginning, from his name, so too we have the same thing. It's about overcoming these challenges. Okay, the Gemara now says, Nason Sela Litol Shekel Chayiv Shnei Kabonos. So a guy gives a Sela, which is a full Shekel, and then he takes back the change of a half a Shekel. He's chayiv to pay two kabonos. So I suggest in the Mishnah, it's like two processing fees. You pay one for the giving and one for the receiving. So Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "The Rabbi Meir, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that holds midaraisa, you have to pay kalbon. The Rabbi Meir Omer, echad shekel shunosein, vechad shekel shunotel. He holds, whenever there's any exchange of anything, you always need to pay a kalbon. The Tanya, the Braisa tells us that Elu Chayavim Bekalbon, the following are Chayav to bring a Kalbon, and the Gemara gives an example of this case of Nosin Telav Notel Shekel, Kalbon Echad, Rabbi Meir, Omer Shnei Kalbonos. He thinks you bring two Kalbonos. So he's the author, he's the opinion behind requiring two Kalbonos in a situation where you pay a full Shekel, and you take back a half a Shekel, you need to pay two of these processing fees. So then the Gemara quotes Umar Rav, which is Rav, in the Yushami they call Mar Rav. So Rav comes along and says differently. He says, no, our Mishnah is not only like Rabbi Meir, it's actually Divrei HaKol. Even our Tanakhama would agree in this case of paying a full shekel and taking back a half a shekel. Even the Tanakhama would agree they're going to be two kalbonos, have to be paid two processing fees. Because according to Rabbi Meir, we're about to see, he thinks Rabbi Meir would require three processing fees in this payment of a full shekel and getting half a shekel back. Why? Dama Rabbi Meir holds, Echad shokel shunosein. He pays one kalbon for the shekel that he gives, ve'echad shekel shunotel, and one kalbon for him receiving it, ve'echad the divrei Torah, and one kalbon to fulfill the din deraisa of paying a kalbon. So Rabbi Meir requires three payments of kalbonos in this case. Now, daita de Rav, now going according to Rav, shlosha kuben inan, there are three kalbonos. As the Braisa tells us explicitly, the Rabbi Meir holds, there are three kalbonos. Also, Rabbi Yirmiyah comes along and says, Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, b'shem Rav, shlosha kubonos inan. There actually are three kubonos. Echad shekel shehunosein, one for the shekel he gave. Echad shekel shunote, one for what he took. Ve'echad l'divrei Torah, one to satisfy the requirement of the deraisa to pay the kalbon. And obviously, you have to really learn the sugya well to appreciate what the kalbon's is. It's a confusing topic. Again, I mentioned before there are a few opinions what the kalbon's accomplishing, but I think for the easiest understanding, it is some level of processing fee is probably the simplest understanding. But again, I'm not sure that's really so accurate. You have to really go in Ian to appreciate it better. Okay, the Gemara now says the two dots. Ha'achin v'ashutvin shechayavim bekalbon p'tur mimaiser behema. So you have brothers, and the brothers inherited from their father. But then they decide to partner up again and put all the properties together. So now they're partners. So now they're individually chayv to pay a kalbon. Once they took the property separately, they have to pay machzis shekel. So the Gemara says, ha'achin v'ashutvin chayvin bekalbon, but they're p'tur mi'maiser behema, like I explained in the Mishnah, that when it comes to ma'aser behema, partners are p'tur from paying ma'aser behema. Only an exclusive ownership is required to take ma'aser behema. Those of animals want to avoid paying a ma'aser behema, so the way around it would be to have a partnership. It's these things are used a lot, actually, in Eretz Yisrael, where there are a lot of halachas. I imagine for ma'aser behema also, but other halachas of requirements of giving, let's say, zro l'chaim v'keva. Every chul and animal that you have in Yushecht, you have to give different parts to the Kohanim. Now, I don't think they do this in Eretz Yisrael, but one of the ways around it is, if you have a non-Jew own part of that animal, so then it's pata from paying Zoro L'chaim V'keva, which is again, Zoro is the arm, L'chaim is the cheeks, and the keva is the stomach, to din deraisa and parsha shoftim, that even from a chulin animal, you give the Zoro L'chaim V'keva, you give it to the Kohanim. It's a chulin, it's a matana, it's not a truma. It's a regular mundane matana, you have to give, it's one of the 24 matnos kuna. But again, the way to circumvent it is by having a partnership. I don't think it has to be a serious percentage, but some level of partnership you have to give to a guy this way to avoid having to pay. So again, those who own a lot of animals, to avoid paying Ma'aser Behema, if you have a partnership with the Yid even, you'd be potter from paying Ma'aser Behema. Then the Gemara goes on to say, "Bishachalko v'chazav nishatfu." So this is a kochmer case, as I mentioned before. Once they divided the property and then they re-partnered together. But what's the case of shechayavim b'maiser behema upturim na kalbon? What's the case where the chayav to pay maiser behema, but they're potter from paying that kalbon, that fee? It's b'shelo chilku, when they didn't divide the property yet. The father died, so it's still in the estate. It's still this entity. So now there's no chayav. There is a chayav maiser behema because it's under one ownership because they haven't divided just yet. So the chayav b'maiser behema, but they're potter from kalbon because this nechasim is still under the ownership of the deceased father. And if they're paying a shekel from this property, if they're paying on behalf of their deceased father, who's not chayiv, obviously, so just like there's no chayiv to pay machs the shekel, there is no chayiv to pay the kalbon either. The Gemara now says, Amar Reb Lazer, Lazer says, V'hein shechilku gedim keneged tiyashim. It's only when they divide up goats versus a sheep, or tiyashim keneged gedim, they didn't have equal animals. That's the only situation that we say, which din here? Hold on. That we say that they're pater from Eiser Behema. Right, when they divide the property according to value, not according to animal for animal. That's the only situation that they got their... And then when they repartnered together, do we say that they're pater from Eiser Behema? It's viewed as a shutfis. But if it's a case of al im chilk, they divide everything, gedim keneged gedim, and tiyashim keneged tiyashim, it was animal for animal, cow for cow, goat for goat, sheep for sheep, it was made that way, hu chilko misha rishona. And then they decide to repartner, so then it's viewed as going back to the initial division. Right? Again, there's a few stages here. The father died, and then they divided it, and then they partnered again. So that's a din where they're viewed as individuals, but they're partnered. But what we're saying here is, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Rabbi Blazer rather holds, if the initial division was goat for goat and sheep for sheep, and then they decide to repartner with everything together, that goes back to the initial matzav of as if nothing was ever divided in the first place. It's viewed as still as one entity, the estate of the father, whereby it's chayv v'maisa behema because it's under one ownership of the deceased father, but pater from Kalbon. That's Reb Lazer's understanding. And then the Gemara says, but according to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan argues, and he says, Afilu chilku gedim keneged gedim, tiyashim keneged tiyashim. Even if the initial division was goat for goat, sheep for sheep, they decide to repartner, they're always viewed as lekuchos, they're always viewed as bought. When you inherit something and you divide it, you're viewed as a lokeach, as a buyer of the property, if you will. Upturin minamaiser, and you're potter from paying Meiser. Why are you potter from paying Meiser? Because Kahu, like that din of Titanina and Taman, the Mishnah tells in Bechoros, Halakuach, Vishinitain lo, Bimatana, potter mi Meiser Behema. There's a din based on the Pasuk that Meiser Behema, you're only chayv if the animal was owned by me from beginning, from birth until I took the Meiser Behema. But let's say the animal was born, then I gave it to you as a gift. Now you own it as a gift, or you bought it for me. You're not chayv in Meiser Behema. It's a special patur of lakuach. If it's a bought animal and matana, you don't throw it into the pen with the rest of the animals that were born to you. It's viewed as something separate. So what's coming out of this discussion here is, when a person's yore something, is he viewed as a lakuach or he's not viewed as a lakuach? And that's the whole discussion. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, if we have some level of a crowd.